A new WBUR investigation with ProPublica reveals how Boston police have kept residents and elected officials in the dark by tapping into an unregulated pool of money to purchase powerful and controversial surveillance equipment. The equipment grabs real-time information from your cell phone and tracks your location. It's drawn concern from civil liberty groups and lawmakers. As part of our ongoing investigation into civil asset forfeiture, which is supported by the Pulitzer Center, WBUR's Shannon Dooling joins us now to unpack the latest findings. Hey there, Shannon.
Hi, Rupa.
Shannon, we mentioned this is controversial equipment. In fact, a number of federal courts have even ruled that it may threaten constitutional rights. So what exactly does it do?
Sure. So the equipment is called a cell site simulator, and police say they use it during big criminal investigations or when they're trying to locate a missing person. The device itself is about the size of a briefcase, and it's usually transported in a larger vehicle like an SUV. Essentially, it sends out signals pretending to be a commercial cell site tower, and basically it tricks phones in the area into using the signal. And at that point, the device is able to track real-time location and capture other identifying information from cell phones. And this is why it's a controversial surveillance technology, Rupa, because not only can it target specific cell phone users, but it can also scoop up data on everyone else who is nearby. We spoke with Cade Crockford, who heads up the Technology for Liberty program at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Crockford says there needs to be external oversight of how these devices are used.
For a long time, law enforcement has been extremely secretive about their acquisition and use of this particular kind of technology. The technology can track people, their physical locations and their movements. So the technology is extremely invasive.
That sounds really concerning. Okay, so you discovered the existence of this equipment as part of a larger investigation into civil asset forfeiture spending. Can you break that down for us?
Sure.
Can you remind us what civil asset forfeiture is?
Of course. Yeah, most people haven't heard of it. I mean, I really hadn't before we started digging into this. So civil asset forfeiture laws allow police to seize and keep money and property that they suspect is connected to crimes, often drug crimes. Our earlier reporting revealed that police often keep this money even if no one ends up being charged with a crime. So law enforcement essentially gets to keep it if someone doesn't fight in court to try to get it back. And most don't take that legal action because they can't afford an attorney or they don't even know they have the option to fight at all. So once the cash is in the hands of the police, it's really up to the chief to decide how it's spent. There's no legislative approval. There's no oversight from elected officials. Normally, the police budget goes through the city council. And if this purchase had been folded into the budget that way, it may have raised a flag, but not here.
So that being the case, how did you find out about this?
Right. So first of all, it's important to note that none of this is publicly available. So we filed a records request asking Boston Police for all of the receipts and invoices for purchases the department made with these civil asset forfeiture dollars over the last few years. And we saw receipts for things like forensics equipment, cars, and body armor. But what really stood out to us, Rupa, was this 2019 invoice from a company called Tactical Support Equipment out of North Carolina. BPD paid the company $627,000 for equipment that's described as a, quote, multi-channel, multi-band base station. So after we saw that invoice, we looked at the city's online checkbook explorer. This is a site that's supposed to really pull the curtain back on city spending, but you won't find any record of police buying $627,000 worth of surveillance equipment there. Instead, it was listed as equipment purchased under the city's Treasury Department. It wasn't until after repeated questioning of BPD and comparing equipment model numbers that we actually confirmed the purchase was a cell site simulator.
Okay, so then you went back to the Boston police with what you'd found, right? What did they say?
Right. Well, no one from Boston police agreed to be recorded for radio, but a spokesperson said they have to get a warrant before using a cell site simulator in criminal investigations. But this is important. They can use it in emergency situations without a warrant. And actually, since 2017, BPD told us they've used a cell site simulator nearly 100 times. 41 of those times were in what they call exigent circumstances in which no warrant is needed. And they told us they discard information that's collected from nearby phones that they aren't targeting, but there's really no way for us to verify that.
What about local officials? What did they say when you went to them with these findings?
Sure. So we actually ran all of this by Boston City Councilor Ricardo Arroyo. He played a big role in crafting a new city ordinance on surveillance equipment. Arroyo represents Mattapan, Hyde Park, and Roslindale. And he said the communities being surveilled in Boston are often communities of color, and they deserve to be a part of the discussion around police equipment and technology affecting them.
If I were to ask a resident of my district, how do you think we come up with what they're allowed to use or make purchases on, or who gets to decide how you're surveilled? They probably would think there's some really official mechanisms for that. And the truth is, there weren't.
You mentioned the new city ordinance that was passed in October. That requires the police to get approval before buying equipment like this, right? So how does that factor in here?
Well, obviously, Boston Police already have this cell site simulator. But for starters, the new ordinance mandates that city departments, including BPD, put together an audit of what surveillance tech they're currently using. And moving forward, the city council can require written policies on how the equipment is used. That's something that Boston Police told us they do not currently have for the cell site simulator they're using.
Okay, what about at the state level? What sort of oversight is there in terms of how police spend this pot of money?
The short answer, Rupa, is not much. District attorneys are required to file reports about spending, vague categories, though, like law enforcement equipment and training, no more detail than that. Some lawmakers actually say police are supposed to be filing similar reports to the state. They believe it was mandated by the 2018 criminal justice reform legislation, though we found that's not happening. We spoke with State Representative Jay Livingstone. He represents the Back Bay and parts of Cambridge, and he's been pushing for more transparency around the spending for a few years now. Now, he was under the impression police have been reporting these expenditures to the state. Clearly, Rupa, there's some ambiguity here around what the law does in fact mandate. Livingstone says the real fix, though, is moving these forfeiture dollars, which add up to millions of dollars, out of the hands of the police and the district attorneys, and instead sending them to the state's general fund.
Having these systems where police departments or DAs are nickel and diming some of the poorest people in the state to create this slush fund that they can use for whatever they want, it doesn't make any sense to me.
So the suggestion of rerouting these dollars has received really strong pushback, unsurprisingly, from district attorneys and police chiefs who say they depend on this money to fill their budget.
Is it done differently in other jurisdictions or other states? What happens to this pot of money there?
In fact, it is. There are a number of states where in recent years these dollars have been rerouted into the general fund, the thought being that it allows for more government oversight into spending.
WBUR investigative reporter Shannon Dooling, thanks so much for digging into this issue.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
If you have something the investigations team should dig into, please call them at 1-800-332-9287.